Welcome to Sabbatical 101. My name is Bethany Walensky, and I'm an associate professor at Michigan State University. I had a life-changing sabbatical, and I'm on a mission to help fellow academics do the same. This podcast is a resource for all things academic sabbaticals. Each episode will provide you with inspiration and insight into the sabbatical planning process, regardless of your institution, discipline, length of sabbatical, or where you plan to sabbatical. I'm so excited to have you along for the ride. Hey there, welcome back to the podcast. Just a quick reminder that this is the last episode before I take a break for the summer. I'm really excited about what's coming for fall, though. My calendar right now is booked with academics who have volunteered to do a live coaching session where we explore a challenge they're facing in planning their sabbatical. I think you're going to find these conversations really helpful as you think about your own sabbatical. If you want to be sure not to miss those episodes, please subscribe to the podcast so you know when new episodes drop. And if you're finding this podcast helpful, please share it with a friend so that they can benefit from it too. In today's episode, I'm going to reflect on what I've learned about sabbaticals as I approach the one-year anniversary of my sabbatical coaching business. So here are the four takeaways. The first is that there's no right way to sabbatical. Number two, a sabbatical application is not the same as having a plan for your sabbatical. Number three, sabbaticals provide a really important opportunity to reconnect with our non-academic interests and identities. And number four, sabbaticals can be a turning point, both personally and professionally. So, the first takeaway, there's no one right way to sabbatical. This is a big one. When I started planning my own sabbatical, I felt so confident that I knew what a sabbatical should look like. In my mind, faculty went to a place away from home that made sense for their scholarship. They stayed there for a semester or a year, and they focused on building relationships with collaborators and doing research. Although relocating one's family to a new place for a period of time is certainly not a small undertaking, this idea of sabbatical seemed very straightforward to me. And I figured that if I had clear professional goals, the sabbatical plan would fall into place. Well, as I've talked about numerous times on the podcast and in blog posts, planning my own sabbatical really opened up my eyes to how varied a sabbatical experience can be. Now that I've helped almost 20 clients plan their sabbaticals, I have an even better understanding of all the different ways a sabbatical can look. So here are a few key points about the different ways a sabbatical can be. First, you may think everyone is going abroad for their sabbatical, and my evidence is anecdotal, but I can tell you that almost all of my clients are not moving to a new location for their sabbaticals. When I started my business, I thought I'd be primarily helping people plan sabbaticals abroad, but in fact, most of my clients are staying put for a variety of reasons, whether it's a spouse who can't work remotely, or they just don't want to expend all the energy that it takes to move and get everyone settled in a new place for a relatively short period of time. Related to that, I think there's often an assumption that sabbaticals at home can't be as good as a sabbatical away, but I think this is a huge myth that we need to work on dispelling. If you're someone who wishes they could take a sabbatical away, but for some reason you just can't right now, I want to reassure you that your sabbatical can be amazing. It just takes some planning and intentionality to ensure that you curate the type of experience you need and want. Now, if you are taking a sabbatical abroad, you might assume that you have to go somewhere that aligns with or makes sense for you based on your scholarship. People often tell me that they're surprised to hear that I spent part of my sabbatical in a place that had nothing to do with my research. So I want to point that out. You can live anywhere you'd like during your sabbatical. It doesn't have to be a place that makes sense for you professionally. Of course, there are definitely caveats to this. You know, you need to go to a place where you can get a visa or have permission to stay for the amount of time that you want to be. But the point here is that you don't have to go to a place that makes sense for your research. You can go to a place that makes sense for your life or your people for other reasons. And so related to that, your sabbatical application is not your sabbatical plan. So if you've been listening to the podcast, you've heard me talk a lot about identifying the purpose of your sabbatical. I know I talk about it a lot, and maybe I sound like a broken record, but that's because I think it's so critical to planning a truly transformative sabbatical. When I started my sabbatical coaching business, I knew that I wanted my clients to start the planning process by identifying their sabbatical purpose,
because it was something that had profoundly shaped my own sabbatical planning experience. The idea that the first step in planning a sabbatical could be identifying the purpose of the sabbatical also seemed new to me. All of my Googling about how to plan a sabbatical had not led me to this idea of identifying your sabbatical purpose. It was something that I just happened to stumble into. Academics tend to think that the application we submit to get our sabbatical approved by our department and institution constitutes a sabbatical plan. And of course, to some extent, that's true because sabbatical applications require thought and planning, right? It's not something you just write off the cuff and submit. But I think that equating a sabbatical application to a sabbatical plan is actually a really limiting approach. Sabbaticals are about so much more than getting research done. And usually our institutions don't care about those other purposes of sabbatical. But really, sabbatical is an opportunity to reclaim your time, to reconnect with your priorities, and perhaps to even recreate or reframe your relationship with work. Now, this idea of identifying a sabbatical purpose might seem pretty abstract. So I want to give you a few examples of how my clients have articulated the priorities and purpose of their sabbatical. We do this in a multi-step process where first I ask my clients to think about their sabbatical priorities and identify those. And then from those priorities, they derive a set of guiding principles. And these really frame their 3 to 5 principles that frame what the sabbatical is about. Here's a list that I pulled from my clients' sabbatical vision documents to get a sense of how they're thinking about the purpose and the guiding principles for their sabbatical. Their sabbatical guiding principles included recognize and be present in the moment, prioritize adventure, build my writing discipline to tap into my potential and creativity, make time for intentional rest and doing things I enjoy, protect my time, cultivate healthy habits, make time for wondering and wandering, seek simplicity and beauty, take time to consider career path and long-term goals, create better alignment in scholarship, prioritize rest. So as you can see, these are really big ideas that set a tone for the sabbatical. And most of them are not about work. And if they are about work, they're about, you know, an identity as a writer or understanding who do I want to be as an academic. The reason that knowing your purpose is so powerful is that it frames all future decision-making about your sabbatical. One of my clients who's just about to finish the program told me in our last session that it was because she got so clear about her sabbatical purpose during the second week of the program that all of the subsequent decisions she made about how to spend her time, what to prioritize, and how to set boundaries for her sabbatical felt really easy and clear. Imagine that. Wouldn't that feel incredible? Feeling so clear about what you need from your sabbatical that it's easy to make decisions about what you'll do on a monthly, weekly, and daily basis. I want that for everyone who's listening to this podcast right now. The third lesson is about reconnecting with non-scholarly interests. Over the past year, it's become so clear to me how important sabbaticals are for giving academics the time and space to reconnect with their non-academic interests and identities. My clients are incredibly smart, productive, and successful. And what often comes with that success and productivity is a sidelining of one's own needs and interests. I love talking to my clients about their personal goals for sabbatical because that's where I see their eyes light up and when they get really excited about what's to come. Whether it's a pottery class, getting back into an exercise routine, taking piano lessons, reading fiction, learning to cook, or just spending more time in nature, sabbaticals create space for leaning into the things that really fuel the soul and allow us to be three-dimensional human beings. And finally, related to that, I've learned that sabbaticals can really be a turning point. When my clients tell me about the fun things they want to do during sabbatical that have nothing to do with their research, I encourage them to think about how they can ensure that leaning into non-academic interests is not something that only occurs during sabbatical, but that it becomes a habit or routine that they can carry forward post-sabbatical. It's the same with boundaries. During the planning process, we think about all the boundaries they need to set in order to make room for the sabbatical they've designed to move forward. Often these systems and boundaries are the ones that my clients would benefit from having in place all the time, not just during sabbatical. Sabbaticals are about so much more than getting work done. They're about thinking seriously about your own needs and well-being, how work intersects with that, and about asking questions like, what do I actually want from my academic life? And how much of myself am I willing to give to my career? A sabbatical can be a turning point and a chance to reset, if you allow it to be that. On a personal note, one of the other things I've learned in my first year of sabbatical coaching is how much I love working with fellow academics to plan their sabbaticals. Like I said earlier, each sabbatical is totally unique, which is part of what makes my job as a coach so exciting. I get to learn about each of my clients' unique circumstances, goals, and desires, and then help them create a bespoke sabbatical plan that serves their needs. As I wrap up a year of sabbatical coaching and press pause on the podcast for the summer, I want to thank you for being part of this journey. Whether this is the first time you've listened to my podcast or you've heard every episode, I appreciate you listening and I hope I've provided some insight you can use. And if you're planning a sabbatical, please connect with me. I would love to talk. Please hop on over to my website, www.bethanywilinski.com, and you'll find all the information about my programs, and you can also click the button to schedule a call to talk more. Thanks again for listening. I hope you have a great rest of the semester and a great summer, and I will be back on the podcast in the fall.
I hope you found this episode of Sabbatical 101 helpful and inspirational as you think about your own sabbatical. If you want to read more about sabbaticals or get even more support for planning your own life-changing sabbatical, head over to my website, www.bethanywilinski.com, to read my blog and for more information about my sabbatical coaching program.